and welcome to episode 14 of the New 52 Review Podcast. I'm here with my man, Eric Shea. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing okay there, Jimmy boy.
You doing okay. And of course, if you are following along at home, you know that this is actually part two of Detective Comics Volume 1, Faces of Death. And something went wrong here. And I'm not talking that we did the first episode of this as the first three issues, and then all of a sudden we didn't realize the fourth is the conclusion of that first storyline. I said to you, it's kind of a funny thing that we didn't realize we left the episode or the podcast as even a cliffhanger that it was, because we do have here issues 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the trade. And the issue number 4 that we start with here does end that first story, Dollmaker. Yeah. But does it end it right there? Because it ends it, and I put ends it in quotes, because it really leaves it out that you don't really get
it. It leaves everything open. So when you go to issue number 5, you really think you're going to continue the Dollmaker arc, but no.
Speaking of that, being a guy who didn't really read this first volume all the way through, I thought I did. Now I realize I just read probably the first 4 issues, if not the first 3, and then went.
I did the first 4.
Yeah, I think then I stopped, because I thought all 7 issues were the Joker's face, Dollmaker, all this stuff, and it is not. And we do end the Dollmaker, like I said, we kind of end it. It's left very open. You kind of even expect by the end of this trade that they would get back to it, which they don't. After this first issue in this trade, the number 4, shit goes wrong. Shit goes so wrong that I thought that I had the fucking wrong issues loaded up. I actually ended up messaging Eric on Twitter, and I said, what the hell happened to this book? Because it just, there's points where I had to reread issues. I thought that I was lost. I thought that shit was messed up. I thought that I was a moron. I didn't know what was going on.
And by the time you sent me the goddamn message, all I could do was laugh, because I had already finished reading this and had the same goddamn conclusion. I'm like,
yeah,
what happened to this book? I'm telling you, Tony S. Danner, you started out strong. Yeah. I don't know if DC got a hold of you, editorial did something. Because it went out of hand really fast, and I don't know what happened.
It lost all direction. Now, I do think there's a couple telling things as this starts. You do, and just as a credits, if you just joined in here, I don't know why you joined in this, you know, second part, but it is written by Tony S. Daniel. You have art by Tony S. Daniel. You have Sandu Flore. You have Seisman Kadransky at one, and I don't know if you realize there. Me and Simon, I guess it would be called Kadransky. Mm-hmm. Me and him have a long running hate for each other.
Do you?
No, I never liked him. I don't like his art at all. That's the art that I said to you at points where he would pop up in the New 52 now and again. Every time he did,
I had a bunch of books.
I can't stand his art one bit, and it threw me off completely. But we might as well just jump into it. I'm a little down, Eric, because when we left the last part of our podcast in the volume, Batman was tied up and fighting
like a puppet.
Yeah, like a puppet, and fighting puppet Jokers, while the Dollmaker basically was setting up this exhibition so that people could bid on Batman. And
so he would also prove that he is the real Batman, so they're getting their money's worth, even though previous to that he had said, don't damage him because it takes thousands of dollars away from our selling of him.
And also the fact that, I don't know about you, but, and we'll get into it, but I have a big problem with the whole thing of why, how could this prove that it's the real Batman when he's fighting what Batman even says. These are just fucking common
thugs. These are just dudes with freaking Joker masks.
Dudes with Joker masks who are really hampered by being tied up like a goddamn marionette. Like, he's having enough problems, but he says, hey, at least I'm not as hampered as them. So how is this proving anything? It's just crazy.
The Dollmaker didn't think this thing through.
Also, in the meantime, I think that the thing around the wraparound thing for me, if I'm Dollmaker, I don't know that you couldn't get more money to bid the highest bidder, or if the bids get, make it a general bid throughout the world, Eric.
Yeah.
And if the bid gets almost like a Patreon, you get to 1 million, 10 million, 1 billion. I'm going to unmask Batman. We're going to all see who he is. Then you have a body that isn't damaged, and you get some money. Now, everybody has knowledge, but they don't go with that. But it starts, even at the beginning, I start this issue number 4 in here, halfway through the trade, and you're in Gotham's Crime Alley 72 minutes ago, and you have this big cliffhanger at the end of the last issue. And when you go into this, I hate when they do this. I hate when you have this thing that you're really excited. The pace is fucking breakneck. You're, oh, my God. And then you have to go back 72 minutes to see that Batman is...
I'm saying not only 72 minutes ago, but we go back to see him questioning this goddamn police informant and a goddamn criminal messenger named Raju. And we only get to, he freaking like, oh, I got the information out of Raju. He's like, you know, he confirmed Dollmaker's hideout and his fucking, I'm like, you already knew where he was from that Mercy Hospital note that Jim Gordon gave you.
That's the problem is I'm actually
so all it is
confused.
Is setting up Raju.
Yeah, I don't even think I'm confused of like almost to the point where maybe we're supposed to think that this was 72 minutes ago and 68 minutes ago is when he got that note. I'm telling you, I don't even – it's so – like it doesn't seem right. It just doesn't. He got the note to go to the Mercy Hospital. He seemed to leave right from there.
And then
when
he
you
stopped
go
to go beat up Raju.
To find out about – the thing he's going Dollmaker. He tells me about Dollmaker's muscle. That's all I need for now. No, we know what happened. We know that you're a marionette.
You already fought Dollmaker's fucking muscle. You know what he's got. Now you just need to know his hideout. You got the Mercy Hospital note. You are good. And you even have the backwards R to tell you to watch your back, Batman.
Yeah. And really, the other thing that threw me off is in this next scene, you have Gotham City Police Headquarters. You have Harvey. They're talking. They're worried. They think that Batman. He's talking to. Do they say the guy Forbes, the internal affairs guy Forbes? And they're talking about it because that one police officer was found dead.
The one that Olivia killed in the previous issue.
Yeah, and the police really, really want to peg it on Batman, and it goes well with Mayor Hades' whole deal and everything.
This
that's
whole
been
anti-Batman
to
initiative
anti-Batman
for his re-election
stuff.
Campaign.
So you get the idea. But Bullock's there. Listen, you should look into things. I don't know why Bullock. All of a sudden, he looks so different in this issue to me, but he also looks like he's dressed as a priest for some reason. The art I thought was off.
Bullock just
nowhere.
Likes his white turtlenecks.
Yes, I guess. Out of nowhere, like everything has gone to hell. But yeah, they're talking. He's like, listen, we're looking into things. And he wants to know, Bullock wants to know if this McAlloy was a bad cop, the one who died and things like that. But as he's going, he's, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. In the meantime, Gordon's missing as well. So they want to find out what happened to him. And that's where he finds the note, the Mercy Hospital note that Olivia gave to Batman. And it seemed weird that Batman would leave it. Yes.
Yeah.
That's like leaving.
And not
shit
only
behind.
That, because we had that Raju bit at the beginning of this issue, and freaking, you know, we had to have that after we got the note. Turns out that Harvey Bullock is the fucking city's greatest detective because all he needs is that note to fucking rally the troops and get them to Mercy Hospital.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go to Raju. And it's such a forced way for them to learn what's going on. I mean, you could have had it simply be that somebody, you know, sees this broadcast of Batman and things like whatever. But
or even if after Batman gets done with this octagon goddamn test to prove that he's Batman, just have him somehow contact Bullock to show like this whole thing where they're like, you know, he has to trust in Bullock even though he normally does because Jim Gordon's in trouble.
Yeah. Call him in the Batmobile and say, listen, I'm heading to Mercy Hospital.
Just have him touch the side of his goddamn cow. Hey, Bullock, this is Batman. Yeah. Get over here.
Yeah, and bam. Then Bullock's like, hey, why didn't you call Gordon like you always do? Because that's who we're going to save. Boom, Eric. Script doctor. Very good. But this note just seems off that it's sitting there. And I just like, I would have liked to have seen Batman eat the note earlier. But just pocket it or do something. But it'd be funny, too, because Bullock gets that note, and he actually knows that backwards R means watch out for that kid. You know, he actually gets the whole deal. And actually, that would have even been a bad call-out, that if he sees and goes, huh, this is Gordon's writing and the way he's doing this, and now we see that maybe Batman did fuck up what the code was, because, in fact, Bullock and Gordon pass notes to each other all the time about their unknown love, Eric, yeah. And they do it in code. But
backwards,
we go,
watch out for children because somebody could be watching. They are up to some no good shit.
That is right. But yeah, then you get Batman. And he's fighting these jokers, these fake jokers dressed up deals. And that's the whole thing, like you said, is you were led to believe that the Allmaker did not want to harm Batman at all because that lessens his, you know, his
value.
Worth.
Yeah.
And now he's gone to like 18 steps to do just that. And it's, and all it is for the visual of Batman fighting in the octagon in marionette fucking ropes. And he's
and I'm telling you, we should have known something was up here because the whole thing is put on hold when Raju shows up. He has, since he is a messenger for criminals, he contacts a Dollmaker and says, look, my client wants to buy Batman. Yeah, like, you know, he'll be willing to give you the body once he's done. He just wants to be able to have Batman alive so he can kill him. And then we find out it's the Penguin. So it's, this is setting up our next fucking part of this volume one trade. And I'm like, should have known something was up at this point because everything is put on hold right here just to have this reintroduction to Raju, which we just had a few pages earlier.
So forced. And I don't even, you know, you get the idea, okay. Penguin wants Batman, but he's got to return the body. It's like, what are you paying for? What is he going to do, really, to Batman? But yeah,
just
you have
him,
to,
I guess, to
you
have
the
to guy
return the body within an hour of death, and all.
And
this
you get to have it
stuff.
For 24 hours, and then you have to return it to me within an hour of its death because I'm very particular about my dead body,
well,
Mr. Raj.
Again, though. You know, Penguin gets him and cuts off his head. And that now, you know, now Dollmaker doesn't have what it seems that he wants. Now, also then in the middle of all this as well, you have Olivia go and visit Gordon and she's like creepy and all. And she goes in. She's like, I'm sorry. I set up. I had no choice, but I set up Batman. Gordon's like, I knew this would happen. I knew you were going to do this. And then you have this weird cliffhanger part of this page where she's like, I'm sorry, Commissioner. She gets out a knife. Well, in the meantime, she actually cuts him loose and he waits there and gives him a gun, it seems. And he waits there I don't think it's his gun. But the other thing is, as it goes, the gun doesn't even seem to be loaded.
No, I'm telling you, this whole interaction with Olivia, who I thought was an interesting character up to this point, like, you know, she's this little girl. She's been freaking, you know, brought in by the Dollmaker to be his new recruit or something like that. She seems to be with his ideas, but also she's like wrestling with her emotions about the whole thing. Yeah. So when we see her just decide to like cut Gordon loose and give him an empty gun and then kills the guy who was sent to kill him, I'm like,
yeah, this guy
this whole
comes
progression,
in. One of the gimps, she even calls him a
gimp,
comes in to pretty much take care of Gordon. Looks like, you know, and Dollmaker even gets word to kill and kill Gordon. And we don't know who or what. It's just out of there. And when they do that, this gimp comes in and then Gordon pulls the gun out and like, hey, sucker, I'm not tied up now, and goes and the gun clicks. And I thought to myself, the minute anybody would give a police officer a gun, I've seen enough movies, right? That they actually, like, boom, check how many bullets are in. Cause there might not be any. There may be two. You gotta know how many bullets are in there to know what you're gonna do. And
you know,
that's
half using a gun.
Yeah, you know that Gordon would do that, but yet he doesn't. Maybe you're supposed to believe that it's that quick, but this guy comes in.
I don't get that idea.
I didn't either. And Olivia kills the gimp. It's just this issue is all over the place because when Batman's fighting these jokers.
It's the weirdest thing when we get back. I want to get back to that Raju bit because throughout this entire volume, Tony S. Daniel, he's been throwing he'll continue to throw characters at us without a lot of background. We're just supposed to know their names and that's it. And like, you know, move on from there. Just remember this name because it might come back. Here we have Raju show up, but we have to have this whole introduction to him in the beginning of this out of nowhere just so we can have the setup for the Penguin for the next arc of the next story arc going on. And it seems weird because why is Raju so important all of a sudden? Because none of these other characters seem to be that he is just throwing at us.
And also we're, 72 minutes since he was getting drowned in the toilet by Batman. And Batman at that point wanted to know about where Dollmaker is, where this. And Batman, they try to tie, you know, they try to get out of that by Batman saying, Raju's here. I guess he figured that I'd be incapacitated. No, why would you think that? You're Batman. Why would he tell them the exact info and then follow in with, hey, I'm here. Looks all fine, all happy. It just seemed very odd. Well, Batman then gets away. You know, they're fighting. He gets away. He's fighting. But then he gets wrapped around with magnetized rope. And he's like, oh, God damn it. I can't move. And, you know, in the meantime, this is Wayne Tech. And then you get this little thing that's just thrown out there willy-nilly. Guess I got to look into where we got a fucking, you know, a mole in Wayne Tech for this. I just thought that maybe Dollmaker went and bought this. I know maybe it's experimental tech, but
you throw that out. You kind of want to deal with that shit, but yeah. We never do.
We never get back to that. So
it's just a way for Batman to say, hey, look, this is Wayne Tech. Luckily, I have my demagnetizer button on my utility belt.
That's
and
all
I'm
it is.
Free.
All it is so that he has a way that he has a demagnetizer because obviously all the tech that he has, Eric, he has the anti version of it as well.
Why wouldn't?
I don't know. But that's what all it is. That's all it is so that when he can just get out of these magnetized ropes, you can go, oh, I guess that makes sense because he's the one who made it. And it's so over the top forced. And what I don't understand is, it to me, those first three issues were pretty tight. They really were.
They were
and we were like, man, this is like a horror movie. I mean, if most people are listening to that, listen to our last one. And they would, you know, we left that very positive, and I couldn't wait to do the second part.
Me as well.
And now I wish I never did.
We should have just left it at that. You know what? Read up to these pages, and you're good to go. Let's move on to the next
point,
book.
This is the best part of what we're going to be talking about today, because then Batman jumps out. He seems to think that Dollmaker is going off in his car. He ends up after he goes, he beats the shit out of a bunch of other of these gimps. He goes. And then he sees Gordon and Olivia, and Gordon's like, listen, we'll be able to do what we have to do. I'll get her to safety. Go get him. And he jumps out of the window and ends up landing on the car that he thinks Dollmaker is in, and then it explodes. And it's a ruse. There's
yeah,
a bunch
it's
of things.
Got two mannequins in there to make
but
you
in
like
the meantime,
think of-
before that, he has this weird line where he's like, yeah, didn't think the last time I met a police chopper, it was firing bullets at me. Tonight, it's a sight for sore eyes. I'm like, why?
And the thing is, what we discover after the car explodes is that the police chopper's actually there to pick up Dollmaker and fucking his daughter. And I'm like, so why was that a sight for sore eyes, Batman? And why are you not doing anything to find out who has the Dollmaker? Who? I've told you. All you gotta do is go to the goddamn, like, the friggin' the GCPD. See who signed out on the goddamn helicopter that night.
Even if you find out that, oh my god, you know what, the guy who showed up, he landed on the roof and his throat was sliced and they jumped in it, you have to know. This is a huge thing that Batman should be worried about. Batman should be worried about this, and he isn't. He ends up like, man, I should be smelling flesh, but I smell plastic. When that car blew up, it's got mannequins in it.
And
he
looks
like,
man, I wish I was smelling flesh right now.
And then he says, the police don't stay long, just long enough to steal away with Dollmaker. And even before that, when he says that, that's a sight for, why is it a sight for sore eyes? Because he is doing the job. It's not like he's like, okay, now I can go back and help Gordon and Olivia. The police are on the case. Or it really, to me, if I'm Batman, I would go, police chopper, now I got to deal with Dollmaker and that fucking GCPD, because the last time they did fire on him, and I think that if they were worried about what was going on here, they would have opened fire again. They would think again. Batman is, Tony S. Daniels doing a thing here where you could go with that whole story where Batman's always in the wrong place at the wrong time. He really looks guilty. I mean, but
I'm telling you, they keep talking about how they think that, you know, Batman had something to do with the death of that officer. He might have taken Gordon. We have all this shit pointing at his direction. Plus the anti-Batman initiative going on with Mayor Haiti. Everybody should be opening fire on Batman because it is their job
but
at this point.
Instead, he just says the police don't stay long, just long enough to steal away with Dollmaker. And that's never resolved. It's never resolved here, because then you go and I'm like, okay, then all of a sudden I'm like, that's it, Eric. That's the end of the Dollmaker saga. He just goes away in the GCPD police or the helicopter, because then we go off to Colorado later. And then they're just like, oh, you know what? He's there with Charlotte. And she's just like, man, that whole Dollmaker shit, that really fucking, you know, made me tired. This penguin guy, whoo-wee, there's a lot of shit. And Bruce is just like, well, do we get Wi-Fi here? Like, this is nonsense.
That's all he cares. And it's such a weird thing, because when he does punch out Raju when he's in the freaking, like, you know, he's trying to make his way to the Dollmaker after he escapes his death trap, he's like, tell the penguin I'm coming for him next, Raju, as he's punching him. And I'm thinking, as we go later to Colorado after the Dollmaker, because he has to spend the weekend with Charlotte like he said he would. And then when we get to the next thing, I think at one point it actually says 3 weeks later, what have you been doing this entire time, Batman? Why? Like, you know, he does go after Penguin, but it's only in search of something else that ends up being with the penguin that he gets it.
Why at the point that the goddamn car, he falls on that car and he realizes it's a ruse and that the Dollmaker's going away in the why doesn't he follow that helicopter? It's probably
like Green Arrow when fucking Merlin was hanging from that blimp just floating away. I'm like, why don't you go after him, Green Arrow?
He just stands there on rubble and watches it fly away. He's a murderer. And as we see, he can press buttons here, and somehow the submarine would show up in the street, God. Eric. I'm telling you, the Batmobile should be a block away and will just show up.
Batjet will be there in an instant.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, in Colorado, he's talking. I think that this is where Tony Estano has something in store later for Charlotte. Good old Charlotte, Eric. And you have to make it. You really, up in this point, to me, it seemed that Bruce, he liked to lay down with her, as they say. But I think that they wanted to push that he does like her. They're having what I've heard recently is called a peoplecation, Eric. It's a vacation without any sort of tech. You have to deal with each other. I don't know.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, he's like, is there any freaking Wi-Fi here? But they're talking. And
shush.
That's where Charlotte's like, I could move here. You'd visit me, right? Yeah, she shushes Bruce. And then she says, this is where I come to clear my mind of the stresses of work. After this week, I sure need it. And there's Bruce. The Dollmaker story took a lot out of you, sounds like. Oh, yeah. Then he's like,
sounds
I found
like.
Myself really worrying for Commissioner Gordon. It's like such a tie-up without narration. It's Charlotte telling us. She
the
says,
the thing is, when we're doing this whole thing where, like, you know, it turns out Commissioner Gordon lost a kidney in this whole thing. I'm like, where's the wraparound where we find out, you know, he got another kidney maybe? Because when he becomes Batman in the super heavy arc and Batman later on, I'm like, I don't think they'd allow him to do that with one kidney.
No,
I think that hampers you a bit.
They sent him the Themyscira. It regrows fucking organs there. He says, I found myself really worrying for Commissioner Gordon's safety. This is what Charlotte says. And that young girl, Olivia, I don't like stories like that. You always expect the worst outcome. At least now with Gordon recovering in the hospital, I might be able to nail down an exclusive. Maybe I could. I'm like, what is going on? Why are you talking like this? And Bruce finally tells her to shush. And I agreed with him. I'm like, what is going on here? You go to Gotham City Police Headquarters and they're talking about how Arkham and they got a hold of Olivia. They're taking her to Arkham and Harvey doesn't want that to happen. He thinks that they're just going to make her worse. And they end up, it'll just be a couple weeks. They're going to do this.
And this is the
deal.
One piece of information that isn't bad that they kind of seed their next arc because they're talking about the protesters outside, like who are all about the Joker and anti-Bat because the face is still being held there. So as long as the face is held here, they're going to continue to be outside and grow in numbers. Yeah.
Because Bullock has, you can tell, he's wanted to get rid of that Joker face, you know, for now.
I don't know why they haven't.
Yeah, and basically, people have started to do a Joker protest. This happens. This is what happened in Injustice. It happens a lot of books where the Joker ends up supposedly, because they all think he's dead. They have this face here. They're yelling, you know, justice for Joker. And in the meantime, when we get into it in a minute, people blame Batman. They think Batman beat the shit out of him. But somehow the word has gotten out that his cut off face is in GCPD, and they want to get rid of it. Bullock wants to get rid of it, and that's how you end. You end.
Is it in GCPD? I thought it was in Arkham.
No, it says that the thing in GCPD, Gotham City Police Headquarters.
Okay.
For some
reason,
when
I thought they were.
Yeah,
it makes sense then. Because for some reason, in my mind, it was Arkham Asylum they were talking to. So, okay.
I don't know. But then they're talking to her, but it seems like they're taking her to Arkham from there. But yeah, it's still there. It hasn't moved. Now, in the meantime, you're sitting there. I'm like, okay. You know, we got this done. Yeah, that issue was not good. He let the Dollmaker pretty much go. Nothing was resolved.
Now it's time to pick up the pace and get the Dollmaker and bring him to justice.
And also, now we're going to deal with the Joker's face and deal with this. And yet that is just a little thing to start the next issue. That's not the next arc. The next arc is not fully, hey, you know, the Joker's face and we got to do this. They get through that pretty quickly and then get on with a story that I don't know what was going on or what he came up with. Because from there, we do go off to see, I'm trying to get to my thing. You have the protest going on outside. And it's weird because it does seem that we're at Old Grant Park in Gotham City where they have a protest going. It is funny because it seemed like they were saying they were right outside the GCPD headquarters, but maybe they all set up this rally. There's a Joker rally. You have all these signs. Show us the
Joker
and the
clown masks and paint.
And a lot of the things mean, you know, down with Batman. You have a Batman with a, you know, the circle and the line through it. But
and it's weird, too, because it seems like Mayor Haiti does not want to break this up because these are also voters who want to keep
They don't look like they're voters, sir.
No, these people are not getting up a fucking election day and voting.
Half these people don't even know who they're like, who are we going with? Is it the Riddler? No, the Joker.
Bozo? I love Bozo the Clown.
I just need something to do, and I'm picking up a lot of fucking chicks. It actually, to me, you throw in a little Faygo here, Eric.
The Gathering of the Juggalos.
The next thing, it's a Juggalo convention, you know, and shit's gone wrong. That shit has gone really wrong. But yeah, they're there, and Batman's watching.
And I've been to two of them. Shit like this went down.
Did you ever have the Down with Batman fucking sign?
No, but it was the police at the time when the freaking big police riot came in and fucking started kicking the shit out of everybody and shooting goddamn pier pallets everywhere.
Right with the police are right. Who needs that? But yeah, Batman watching. He's like, they've been coming here every night. Their numbers have grown threefold in the last few weeks. A shrine for Joker. And then they want to get rid of me. They blame me. I'm like, okay, this is starting off okay. We'll go with this. But then it just goes from there, and he goes off. I've been tracking Axel Bellamy and his outfit for the last 3 days.
Axel Bellamy.
What's going on? And this whole thing with that. And it all does tie into each other, but it's such a loose narrative and really not a very tight script here of how you get from any of these points to the
No,
next.
I'm telling you, this whole thing, like we had that Raju thing where they wanted to set up who this character was so we could get to the next arc. All of a sudden, we have Axel Bellamy, we have fucking Boris Gorky, and we freaking Mr. Mosaic then. I'm like, these are all characters that are fucking bullshit and don't matter at all. Why are we
fucking
dealing with this?
And they're just names thrown out there. But yeah, you have Mr. Gorky. There's going to be an exchange, and you know, they have, listen, you know what, recently I was robbed, so I'm sorry about doing this and whatever. And out of nowhere, while Batman's watching, a throwing star goes right into his eye, into Gorky's eye, right? And Axel's there, and then all of a sudden you see it's one of these jokers. It looks like it's one of the people who are protesting. Person comes, stabs people, is killing the guys. Everybody's dead.
That freaking throwing star goes in the Boris Gorky's fucking eye, and then you see this goddamn clown take out his bodyguards. Yeah. And Batman's like, don't know who the newcomer is, but in the blink of an eye, he's just taken out two of Gorky's men. I'm like, what about Gorky?
Yeah, I know. Gorky just is missing an eye now, but it seems like I don't know, is he supposed to be dead? But then Batman's like, this one's fast and moves without making a sound. A master of jiu-jitsu, and it's so spelled out for later to see what it is.
And shoots acid in
later
his face.
On, it's not a guy. You're supposed to even be led to think it's a guy. It's actually Jill. Is it, what's her last name? Is it
Jill Hampton? Jill Hampton. But
Jill
also
Hampton,
at one point in this,
Chase.
She got like, who is called Jill Chase, who was just noticed Chase,
just called
who
was
the twin sister of Charlotte Rivers.
Yes, this is Charlotte's twin sister who was separated at birth, though, from what I looked up. They know of each other. Yeah. It's so convoluted.
And I want to know where all this backstory really came from, because I looked it up online, too, because you don't really get a lot of that here at all.
No. Well, then at this point, he knows nothing. He's chasing this Joker who just killed people. He runs off, and the person ends up going to the bay and jumping in a goddamn
Which you realize at that point, okay, this was that person's getaway plan the whole time. If anybody comes after him, just run through the crowd of Jokers and blend it and get away.
Jokers dressed as a Joker. It's a good
plan. And even better if it's Batman, because these Jokers, oh, look at this guy. He's in the wrong costume. Let's kick his ass.
And they start freaking out. They're like, oh, look at this asshole, an anti-protester. He's protesting for Batman. Let's get him. And then he ends up having to punch a couple guys. He has to punch them. And it's funny that at the end, then they're like, hey, I think that guy was the real deal. Nah, we're still breathing. And then all of a sudden, they're like, get him. What happened? But he's going. And what happens after this? Like, I want to see. They seem to still be running after him. And then he goes and the boat's gone. I want to see the people tackle him into the bay.
No. These Jokers, really out of shape people. They're like, you know what? Let that guy go, because I've been eating a lot of fried chicken lately.
Yeah, because he goes, and the weird thing is here, where a great escape plan. Chase had a great escape plan, and then leaves the Joker mask and a token for the Iceberg Lounge laying on the ground. You think Batman would know he's being set up, correct?
Well, especially because, like, hey, it looks like this freaking chip from the goddamn Iceberg Casino, it fell out of the mask. Like, who puts a goddamn chip in a freaking clown mask? Like, why is that the place you keep your chips?
And also, I have to remind you, it hasn't even opened yet. The grand opening comes up later. So it's all these things. But to me, Batman just, he liked the note that he got earlier from the girl, from Olivia, and just, okay, it means to watch my back. And then he gets fucking hit from behind. I don't think he's a very good detective. You would think that right away, he's like, all that effort that that person did to kind of do that nude escape through where, why would they just throw this mask and this chip? And it does end up kind of being a setup.
It is a setup because on the chip it had the fingerprints of freaking Snakeskin Jack.
Yeah, Snakeskin, but really that doesn't benefit Chase much at all. And in the meantime, it leads Batman to the Iceberg Lounge where Chase is going.
I'm telling you, the way I took this whole thing is that, you know, she's been playing freaking Snakeskin, whose real name is Jack Houston, and he is the fall guy for this whole situation that she is setting up at this point for the Penguin.
But the problem is, she's leading Batman to, why not, why even do that? Just let, because at the end of, you see that pretty much Snakeskin, she could just kill him at any time.
Yeah.
She doesn't really need a fall guy for what ends up being done and what happens and who she's working for. And in the meantime, it ends up going to the Iceberg Lounge. I'll tell you, Chase is working for the Penguin, but yet she's leading Batman right to where she's working with the Penguin.
This whole thing, like, I don't know if it's just for the benefit of Batman or the police, like, type of thing. Like, we have to have this fall guy because everything that this whole deal is setting up to is the Penguin stealing from some Z-grade villains, and he needs to have an out to prove that this was not him. We have somebody who was trying to kill me.
Yeah, well,
this other stuff that leads to Jack Houston Snakeskin.
Later on, you have Snakeskin try to kill the Penguin, and right there you see him, so you would think, okay, there you go. There's the fall guy again. He's like the fall guy 20 million times. But also, you see in a very weird setup thing now, Chase goes off and takes this suitcase that she got over to
Mr. Mosaic.
Mr. Mosaic, who's a wreck.
Who you don't know at all. And no. You see him here, and at the end of this freaking trade, you don't know anything about him.
And he's in a limo. Chase, who we still don't know who it is. Yeah. It's the person who was dressed up as the Joker, and we don't ever see her face here. But she's like, I got the money. Here you go. Hey, that doesn't look like 20K. Put a gun to his head. Here you go. Here's the VIP ticket. And now again, this is supposed to be, I think, continuing the setup of Snakeskin, because it doesn't make sense.
Well, they need the VIP thing to freaking get to a certain area
but
in the
Chase
Iceberg
is
Lounge.
Working for the Penguin.
I know. It's around. It's supposed to be this.
To
I know, but I think
it's
this
so
has
that
to be
we
a
have
way.
This twist. It's
yeah,
just
know.
To
it's,
have the twist later.
It does not
later.
Work very well.
It does not work at all. If she was still trying to disguise herself as Snakeskin, and this was now, okay, he grabbed this, and then he went there. All the things that you have on Snakeskin is that he killed some fucking bad guys in Gotham, and it just, it's so weird. It just, that part just came
to, oh, I'm telling you, they're really trying to make this into a detective story, because it is Detective Comics. We have to have this mystery, these freaking clues landed out so we get to our end point. And so all these things have to line up, and at the end, it doesn't really matter, because when we have Snakeskin, we find out that he is this guy who was, he's down on his luck. He freaking, he's signed up for some freaking, you know, medical like tests done that weren't on the up and up. And afterwards, he sued them because it fucked up his goddamn face. Yeah. And he's been,
and
the
then
weird
he used
part
all
is,
his money. He
gambled all his money away.
Millions,
the
Eric, he owed.
The way they go through this whole goddamn thing, you find out that he got all this money, lost it, and became a criminal to try to make up for it ever since. You never really get the idea that he got the snakeskin abilities from this goddamn not up on the up and up goddamn medical procedure.
I don't know.
You just have to fucking put that together for yourself, because they don't really spell it out in this.
Yeah,
but
well,
by the end, it doesn't matter, because for some reason, his face don't work no more, and I don't know why.
It doesn't work anymore, and it's
just, and it's like, Snakeskin can make himself change to anybody he wants to on his facial features.
He's almost like a Clayface's
face. Only in the face,
change
though.
Facial features and make himself look nice or whatever, but yeah, all of a sudden it stops working out of nowhere.
And I don't know why.
It's crazy. Well, you have, all of a sudden we see our girl Charlotte. She's showing up at the Iceberg Lounge. They're having this grand opening. Bruce was supposed to be there to go on a date with her. Obviously, he's detained. He's off doing something else. So
doing
instead, she comes off of her freaking yacht, it looks like, that she pulls up in, and starts talking to Hugh Martyr, who's another guy who we've never been introduced to.
Well,
he's
We were introduced to him at the beginning of this, where
remember.
He was rock climbing with Bruce. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's why. It doesn't even, I didn't think his hair was that long then. That's why I didn't even remember.
I'm saying, though, That's all we have, though. He's a guy who wants to fucking use Wayne Tech as a way to get his technology out there.
From the time and that we talked about to now.
There was no connection between him and Charlotte Rivers before, but now there is. And this other girl that Hugh's with, and like, oh, hey, don't worry. Hugh goes to bed early. So now it's a girl's dead. I'm like, what does this have to do with our fucking story?
Yeah, I don't know, because she gets off.
It never comes back.
She gets off the boat to go into the Iceberg Lounge because, you know, it's the Iceberg Lounge. You have to take a boat to get there. And she's like, sorry, I'm late, Hugh. Really? And thanks for waiting for me. I waited for Bruce as long as I could. And then Hugh's like, not to worry, Charlotte. I'm sure Bruce merely found himself with a scheduling conflict. And then they go. And like you said, now she's with this girl that was Hugh's date, but then ends up that she just was going to go off on her own anyway. So she says, I'm glad Bruce wasn't there anyway, because I have some shit to look into.
And first she's got to put on a sexy goddamn maid costume.
A French maid outfit. Yeah. You know, so now we see that the Penguin likes the sexy maids. But
it doesn't matter
because
the Penguin's watching on surveillance the whole time. We got to take care of the Charlotte Rivers
broad. He thought that was chat roulette or freaking, you know, chatterbait or whatever the things you go on, because he's watching and he has his three ladies there, you know, and it's one of them's called Lark, the main one. And we laugh because that's the whole thing, that Duke was supposed to be called Lark in the New 52 and end up now being the Signal. Well, there was another Lark beforehand, and maybe that was one of the reasons. I don't think that would be a reason why you wouldn't call Duke.
No,
that.
Because how often you see in the Lark? I'm telling you, the Lark in my mind, I did not look this up, but like, it's a character in my mind that's been around for a while who's always like the henchwoman of the Penguin.
Yeah, that's what she is. And yeah, it's okay. And I like the art at the end there. I love the way the Penguin looks there. He's pretty cool. Well, this is where we're halfway through this issue. And then all of a sudden you turn the page and you got another story going on called Russian Roulette that doesn't have anything to do with anything at this point.
No, setting up a Hugo Strange story that I don't think we ever got.
No, I don't think we did. It's Eli Strange, who is Hugo Strange's son.
Illegitimate son of Hugo Strange, who came to him when he was 16 years old out of nowhere, and Hugo didn't know about him.
And it seems like he's keeping an eye on him. He's watching what goes on here to see if he's worth kind of dealing with or you know, going through things with. Well, he goes and ends up getting a card game with the Mad Russian, and they start just playing cards, and he's cheating. I'm going through this part quick because I
there's nothing to it.
The art was terrible. It's so funny because, your name Eli? Yeah. What's your last name? Strange. Who, that's Strange. Yeah, it is Strange. Yeah. And then at the end, you have Hugo Strange is like, that's my boy. And you're supposed to be shocked.
Eli Strange is working with the Catwoman to get some fucking jewels that were stolen from her at some point by the Mad Russian. But the thing is, at the end, you know, it's Eli and her working together. So they both run off. And you see freaking Hugo Strange. Maybe I have to look more into him. Maybe he is my son the way I expect it. And I see Hugo Strange like, is that Mr. Freeze? What the fuck's going on?
It looks like Mr. Freeze, but it's so weird because it's like, I will make you what you were meant to be, the son of Hugo Strange. And I think that was supposed to be a shock. He said that his last name was Strange the whole time. You can only assume that that's what he's saying. Now, you could be like, oh, you know what? Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's doing this or that or the other. But no, it's no shock.
No.
And it says end for now. And maybe if – because Tony S. Daniel only goes up to two trades. And then he's off at the 0 year. It's done by Greg Horowitz. He does the zero issue.
And I'm telling you, because I read these years ago, because I know when we get into the next one, it's all about the – I'm pretty sure it's the Merrymakers and shit like that who become the villains and stuff. And
And
I
the
don't
Scarecrow
remember.
Starts off the deal.
Yeah,
so the
I don't remember ever dealing with Hugo Strange, though.
We'll have to see. But then after the zero issue, that would be issue 13 normally. But when you get to issue 13, the proper issue, it's John Layman and Jason Favreau.
And that's when Detective, in my mind, got
really
good. Yeah,
and all the stuff here that is trying to be set up doesn't really matter. And it just, when I'm reading it, it threw me out of the story. And I just thought, I guess maybe they had a delay, or this was just to put that in and get it. Well, we start off from there. Now we go and we get thrown in with Snakeskin and Chase. And you do get that background that you already talked about Snakeskin and how he was 2 years ago, he suffered a bad reaction when volunteering his body to a rogue medical research firm. Number one, the rogue medical research firm you would never do this without some sort of thing signing it off. Like, it's not like he said he was somewhere and there was a thing. He volunteered. to have his body in a rogue medical research firm. There's no way that this makes
any
sense.
I want to know how you freaking sue a rogue medical research firm.
I know, but even then, yeah, they might get arrested. Yeah, you could sue, but what are they going to have? And then, so then he got all this money, and he ended up gambling it away in less than a month. And then within 6 months, he lost everything. Found himself in a hole $5 million deep. To me, I know the whole thing. If somebody owes a lot of money like that,
put it on credit.
Them, they can't pay you back. So, you know, but something would have happened more than him just walking around. I love it, too, because the panel there where it's when it says it's within 6 months, he lost everything, found himself in a hole five. The panel there that he's in, it seems like one of those like old school movies, like musicals.
That's what it reminds me of.
They're walking downtown. You see Broadway signs going by and they're dancing it up. I'm like, this is just like the worst. You see,
you know what it is? You know what it reminds me of is when fucking Bart and friggin' Milhouse take that goddamn like complete syrup squishy.
Yeah,
and they
the
just go on that goddamn bender.
I expect Apu's face to appear in the middle laughing.
Start laughing.
Yeah. It's so crazy. But then they give you the whole thing. He's been arrested a bunch of times. He's used, and this is the wraparound of this is this is
I don't
what
know
Batman
where you got this Pixies drink, but I like it.
I like it. You have Batman is looking into the DNA that was on the chip. And this is, well, like I said, it doesn't really go very far here because they're just, he's just going to go. But actually, it does. This is the problem with me. It actually goes through step A, B, C, and D. And it's so hokey to me because then he goes and finds out where Snakeskin had his apartment. He goes in. Snakeskin had killed our man Raju.
Oh,
we
no,
hardly
Raju.
Knew ye. Raju, he's in a bathtub filled up with blood. And then you go, and in a little aside, I wish that he had a throwing star in one of his eyes, and then we would actually have known it was Chase, and that would have been a kind of a cool deal there, but it's not.
And that's the whole thing. When we do this whole, we go through Raju's friggin' cell phone numbers, and he's like,
yeah.
And he had three conversations with one Jill Hampton. Sir, isn't that? And then friggin' the com goes out, like,
and
everybody
also,
knows who Jill Hampton is.
They also talk to Nicholas Pogg. And then throw out that Jill Hampton. And Jill Hampton, like we said, that's Chase, who is also the hidden or secret twin sister of Bruce's girlfriend,
Not
Charlotte.
Too secret.
And, well, no. But now it's everything is getting
I
so
I swear
convoluted.
At some point in this, they call her Jill Chase.
Yeah.
And it really threw me off because they're playing the whole thing. Like, the characters, the villain name of the character is Chase for some reason. But, you have the Jill Hampton. I'm pretty sure at one point when they say Jill Chase, I'm like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Well, you have Raju, he's dead. Yeah, Batman there, he's in this fucking shitty ass apartment. So he goes down to talk to the landlord or the guy, you know, the desk clerk. And again, and he looks like Danny DeVito. And there, he's another piece of shit. Like, you can't go anywhere in this book without pieces of shit. He beat a murder rep 15 years ago, before my time. So then the guy goes to shoot Batman with a goddamn fucking rifle or a shotgun, and Batman hits it, so the guy blows off his foot. Blows off his toes there. And he says, hey, is there a young man named Joe Hampton here recently? And the guy's like, listen, man, I don't see nobody, but there was this chick with an eye patch.
I don't have no names, but that chick had an eye patch.
Yeah, I don't like that eye patch shit. But he's like, hey, I'm bleeding out over here. Help me, help me. He's like, help yourself.
Throws the phone on the ground. Help yourself.
Yeah, throws the phone at her. It just doesn't make any sense. And then we go to the Iceberg Lounge, and there you got nothing, and you go, and you have Charlotte's going through Chase's, hotel room and going through her stuff and seeing what she's up to, because in the meantime, she knows her sister's there and is trying to see if she's on the up and up and doesn't want her to be doing bad. Well, it seems like she's always doing bad. So
the thing is, when we get into this, I never got the idea that, Charlotte's going through these rooms dressed as
that.
No, she had no idea in my mind. She just happened to be in Jill's room when she fucking comes back and gets hit because she's like, Jill, you gotta be kidding me, Charlotte. If, you know, and I'm like, it just seemed like this was a happy coincidence that this was like the person who found her because, you know, now we have this whole sister thing and now we have the exposition to fucking make the connection. Oh my God, these two are sisters.
Yeah, but she says, what the hell are you doing here? And what's with that outfit? Finding out what it is you're doing here. We need to talk now. So I'm like, no, she knew, and you're supposed to, like, okay, she's the investigative reporter, Charlotte.
Yeah,
Church.
I know. For some reason,
Charlotte
when I did it,
Church,
like, she came, when she came in here, it really seemed like she was investigating the Penguin.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's just, and then she's like, I'm investigating some bad people, and I'm about to expose a whole underground weapons operation, one that goes all the way to the top of Gotham. Guess whose name popped up? Not mine. And then she's like, I've got an inside lead on what happens in this town, or have you forgotten? So what, you can't prove I'm involved. What is going on? And then they just start, you know, they're fighting, freaking, you have Chase smash a goddamn wine bottle. I'm like, but you really want to play truth or dare?
Like, and we go away, and there's nothing of it ever again.
What is going on, Eric? Yeah, then you go, and there's the Penguin now is sitting with a very colorful cast of characters, which I think this is the best thing of it, only because I think that every one of them is cool. But even though you don't really get to know one guy who ends up with them in the end, you know, you don't get to know all of them.
I'm telling you, we have this table full of these Z-list villains that are kind of
cool.
Like Penguin's
really
lieutenants.
Cool
oh, yeah, they're cool ideas. We have these, like, Penguin lieutenants where these guys have come together because the Penguin has offered them, look, I will take you under my wing. I will house all your money here so it can never nobody can ever come across you and fuck you over. It's going to be stored here. It's going to be great. I'm going to take you under my wing. You're going to be under the protection of the Penguin. So we have Mr. Toxic, who was a kind of a clone of Hugh Martyr. We have Mr. Combustible, the Imperceptible Man, a Hypnotic, and one other guy who looks like a little fucking juggernaut who we have no idea who the fuck it is.
Yeah, we have no idea who he is. But,
and I tried to get a hold of Tony Daniel beforehand to see if he could tell me who this character is. He never got back to me.
He
so
does not have a little, fancy name, that guy.
Little
so
juggernaut, he's just left out in the dark there, Jim, out in the cold.
Yeah. I know, but I do like Mr. Toxic, who they call Gas Man for some reason.
I don't know why they call him Gas Man.
Yeah, and in a whole thing to reveal the big truth that this ends up, Mr. Toxic actually is the unstable clone of Hugh Martyr, who we saw earlier, and he needs that suit to keep himself alive. That's like the big, you know, reveal at some point, but I don't even think that even happens that much. I think we must get that in this, you know, deal, but I don't know. I don't know, but all this is Penguin has gotten these guys and said, listen, you guys always get the shit kicked out of you. You're going to die. You're going to end up losing everything. So why don't you give me all your money and we'll store it here because I have a very good, you know, secure location. The Iceberg Lounge can be this location where I keep your money. That's basically all it seems to be. But yeah, in the meantime, it's all a ruse. He is actually working with Chase to actually bilk them out of everything and then kill them. But, you know, that's what it ends up. But really, there's nothing to it. It just, everything is just going from one scene to the next to set up this next ruse and next thing. Because
I'm looking at this thing here because we're talking about the clone of Hugh Martyr. Yeah. And like, I'm trying to think, I think it is just supposed to be Hugh Martyr, though. Because
no,
I think
it says the clone. It says an unstable clone. That needs that it needs that suit because if that's the case, man, he is going back and forth between the two. But yeah,
well,
everywhere
I thought that
I
was
looked.
Maybe the thing too because the whole thing where like the Hugh Martyr's girlfriend's like, look, he goes to bed early, so we're gonna.
Yeah,
have to
yeah,
I thought
no,
that was his way to get out and freaking
something
have
else. But yeah, it spells it out that is the the clone. But maybe they were wrong. I looked at this one Wikipedia deal and it said it because I don't know about Mr. Toxic though. I think he looks cool as hell.
Oh, yeah, he
looks really cool. But yeah, now you have Batman. He's trying to find this Pog, this guy Pog, who was, you know, had a connection with the phone line with Snakeskin.
Oh, so I just found a thing here. It is the clone. You're right. For some reason, it just felt off to me. For a guy, I'm like, we just had all this build up. How he has to sneak, like, you know, he's going away at like 9 o'clock. I'm like,
and
all right, that's a perfect opportunity. So yeah,
to nothing. But yeah, you go and you find out that Batman is going through all these places to find this guy Pog, finds out that he has a bomb fucking factory. So he goes to the bomb factory, finds there's no bombs there. Or I guess it was supposed to be like a gun running thing, but ends up being a bomb factory. It doesn't mean anything, but except that there's missing C4 and Pog is in a goddamn ice chest in
and
pieces.
Pog looks like the original Crypt fucking keeper in this.
Yeah. And
ugly
he has,
man.
Ends up with a goddamn, that shit ends up with his, Pog's the guy who's dead in that ice chest. He's got a fucking throwing star through his face.
That other guy was Chase.
Like, yeah, I think the other guy was Smitty. Smitty was
the guy
he grabbed.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Smitty was Pog's fucking odd guy.
This is the problem. This is one of the worst things to ever, I have to ever talk about. These books, because
I know.
It's all over the place. Because then, that's how Chase and Snakeskin got C4. To take it over to the Iceberg Lounge, he ends up showing up Snakeskin with the C4. Yeah, Chase is going to get that. Now, we have this whole thing where there's going to be an explosion. You're going to have people all upset. And the whole thing is these guys, Mr. Toxic and Hypno, all these guys are supposed to be killed by Chase so that a Penguin can go off with the money. And that's just what is going on with this
story? Telling you, they are forcing this goddamn detective thing. So we have to go and like follow the clues to whatever. And it, you get all these names and you get all these situations. And by the end, you forget the goddamn what you're actually supposed to be caring about.
Yeah, and well, that now we have Bruce heading off to the Iceberg Lounge. He's going to go, oh, I guess I'm going to have that date with Charlotte. You have Alfred, who's got his sailor hat on, and the freaking dialogue it's awful. The dialogue here is just like, it just goes, and then you have a throw-in to iVampire. Out of nowhere, Alfred's like, huh, yeah, I'm afraid you've already given me enough to stay occupied, especially considering that vampire case file you have me investigating. What is going on?
Those missing train badges are the top priority, Alfred. There was so much blood and thing as they didn't hear, like, what's with these vampires leaving all this blood behind?
Yeah,
what kind of shitty vampires?
Like,
come on.
Yeah, I don't. I go to a buffet. I try not to leave anything on
my
plate.
Let's have a tie into fucking goddamn iVampire.
Yeah, see iVampire number 5 for the gory details. No, thank you.
We will eventually.
Then we have, and by then I'll forget, we have Charlotte who has taken Chase's ID, is going through with her VIP deal, even though it looks like when she swipes the ID, you have Chase's goddamn face on there with a fucking eye patch. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know how, like, why it would have a fucking, you know, when you swipe the card that belongs to this person, why would it be Jill Chase's picture? Because she's in there undercover, supposedly, at this point, till we find out that she's working for the Penguin,
undercover. She got that from Mr. Mosaic. He wouldn't have had her picture embedded in that. He didn't know who it was, it seemed. It's just, well, he did then, afterwards, I guess.
No, because I'm pretty sure that she gave that VIP card to fucking Snakeskin.
The way this all went, I actually thought that she was looking through the window of a door. Like, what are you doing? I thought she was trapping her in there. Oh, she gets in and she goes in this walkway out of nowhere. Snakeskin shows up, slices the shit out of her. He's trying to kill her. Bruce sees it. And then as Batman comes down, ends up freaking, you know, knocking out Snakeskin or pushing him away, and then gets distracted because Charlotte is bleeding out. It looks like
And the thing is,
die.
Somehow Charlotte got into this small room, like on the side of this room, which I took as a goddamn, just another hotel room.
So
he runs over inside the small little alcove, which then he gets sealed in almost like it's a panic room, but it turns out it's the ice generator room. Like,
yeah, it's the
what
ice generator
the
room.
Fuck are you doing?
Yeah, well, what's going on? And he's like, he basically says, oh man, I was distracted by Charlotte dying. I should have known better than this. But at
I don't
this
think
point,
you should have.
Well, the weird thing is, too, is that Batman punches the shit out of
Snakeskin.
And I guess we're led to believe that from there, that's what ruins his snakeskin ability?
I don't know, because in my mind, for him owing all this money to other places, he has had his fucking face kicked in over and over again.
I know. It's just, and his teeth are out and stuff. I do like the one panel where he's punching, and you actually see his skin is like a snakeskin.
Yeah.
It's really well done in those panels there. The problem is when he goes, who's there? And you see he looks like Bruce when he's looking up. Then he looks like Alfred when he says, come out. And then he looks like he's all over the place. Maybe that's what he was doing with his snake skin, Eric. But yeah, we end that.
And I don't even know what to fucking believe that it was Batman that did this, because when we jump into the next issue and the final issue of this fucking trade, Jill Hampton Chase is beating the shit out of him for fucking killing her sister.
Yeah, it seems
do this to him?
Yeah, it seems like he has gone off then. And then she's beating the shit out of him. You filthy, rotten snake guy. I'll kill you. And he's there laughing. He looks a lot like, almost like the Joker's face that was cut off, but it's that. And what's so damn funny? And
he looks like
where,
that one fucking character from the Victim Syndicate in Detective Comics and Rebirth.
Yeah, especially later. When he's walking around, he really does. There's also, it's weird, when we get to that, there's a Marvel character that he reminded me of as well, and I couldn't remember who it was, and you might not either, but she's there. What's so damn funny? And this is where he says, you'll ruin the sensors in your paw, kitty cat. That's what. I'm like, what are you talking about?
And the thing
that's
is, these sensors, not set up at all, except for this goddamn throwaway line, and I'm like, I have no idea. And even when we see it later on, I'm like, I don't get any of this.
No, and even then, I thought, kitty cat, now I'm starting to get crazy and think that that one-shot little deal
that
with Hugo Strange, that wasn't even fucking Catwoman. It was actually a setup of Chase. Because she's beating the shit out of appears to be the laundry room. And also, I want to ask you, look at this laundry room. What's going on there? What's going on here? Because they're still in the Iceberg Lounge, correct?
This is the shittiest looking laundry room you've ever seen in your life.
And this is the grand.
This looks like the laundry room of that goddamn friggin' that place that Batman had the friggin' landlord blow his fucking foot off.
I thought that it was where Raju was, that shitty hotel, because this is supposed to be the grand opening of the Iceberg Lounge. Something tells me, I mean, it's not even just that the building looks like shit and shits all over the place. This place has done nothing, and every bit of equipment
got cracks, and it's crumbling everywhere. Everything's got fucking mold on it, looks like.
The washing machine has ooze coming out. I don't know what's going on, Eric. This is not, I guess.
I don't know what's coming out. You don't know what's going on in this laundry room.
How do we think?
I don't know what's going on in this story.
I don't know either. But yeah, and then they're just, she starts bad mouthing him. And now you're supposed to get this idea of this, how it's the connection is. Yeah, Chase is just using him. This is, I guess, supposed to show us that, yes, Chase is using him because she hates him. She's like, you are a piece of shit, motherfucker. What the hell? And then he's just like, oh, come on, don't do that again, baby. You said you'd quit. Oh,
it's fucking like, wrong, turn all
it's wrong turn. It's wrong turn. He is. You said you quit, baby. And then she kisses him, but in the meantime, he can't change back. She doesn't seem disgusted enough later at that, but she is. And there you have Batman. And I couldn't
in
even
the ice generator.
I couldn't even follow the progression of what was going on because it said because the ice generator.
The whole thing, like we were in this goddamn, it seemed like a panic room off to the side. The freaking, you know, snakeskin locked him and freaking Charlotte into. And then all of a sudden, the freaking ice started coming down on him from that. It started, and then we jumped to this issue. Now there's no fucking floor, and the bottom is a goddamn fan.
Like maybe it opened, and it's the
I don't know.
But the problem is, I just don't get the concept of this. And at the end of the last issue cliffhanger, I didn't know that they were in some sort of thing. The way I looked at it was like, oh no, they're going to freeze to death. That's all I thought. Like, oh geez. And then you go, it's an ice generator with no floor. Batman calls Alfred and says,
spinning fan of death at the bottom.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, you know, hey, Alfred, do you read? At your disposal, sir. He's like, listen, I need the bat sub immediately. But you're inside the Iceberg Casino. How do I? Don't worry about how. Just lock on a location and send it. Very well, sir. But I must warn you. Do it now, Alfred. I'm like, just do it, Alfred. Jesus Christ. And God, what we're supposed to believe is this ice was going to go into the bay because the way this generator was. And instead, the sub comes up and smashes through and destroys
the
fan
part. I wouldn't
know
where the sub was because it's there instantaneously.
I just don't know what this ice generator is doing. I guess you can say it's generating the ice around the iceberg.
I guess.
That's his concept. But it doesn't make sense.
Room in this strange area for this to happen. And then all of a sudden the bathtub is there immediately, breaks through the wall and breaks the fan that's going to kill them. I'm like, wow.
That's the whole concept, is where this fan is right below is water, ocean. Batman gets the signal. The bat sub comes through and smashes the fan that they're going to fall. It's like a James Bond-esque moment. And the bat sub, but to me, I think where they are in this and in this thing, that bat sub is now going to hit them and kill them. I just don't understand the whole concept of what we got here. And the art, to me, is very confusing. There's not a very good progression of panels or what's going on. Now, Charlotte now is bleeding out, now has fallen how many stories into fucking water that's probably ice cold. It's right below this thing.
Well, that's exactly what Batman wants, to give her hypothermia.
Well,
to
he says to get that,
going.
But in the meantime, I think the shock to her system of already bleeding out, she's dead. There's no way. But yeah, he
I'm
says
okay
to Alfred, get one of the life rafts, fill it up
with
ice. We're going to put her there. I was like, what are we going to have another kegger? There, sir. No. We got a bleeding out Charlotte. We're going to go.
God damn it. Why do I keep you on?
It's just ridiculous. Then you have more of Chase and freaking Snakeskin, who's there. I can't deal with it. I can't move my face back anymore. And she doesn't like it. Earlier in there, when they were first, when we kind of saw them first as a couple, he had his regular face. And
she didn't like his regular face.
No.
He just looks like a scumbag.
Listen, get that regular face off. Wipe that grin off your face and your face. And then he made himself look better. Now, all of a sudden, he is hideous. And
he's a goddamn monster, man.
There is no way.
And their timetable, because of the bat sub, like breaking into the freaking Iceberg Lounge, it seems like it's up their timetable because now the GCPD are showing up at the Iceberg Lounge before they were, like, you know, getting their job done. That
and you have, like, you know, Mr. Tox, all those guys. Now they're worried. They're like, oh, my God. Mr. Combustible is like, listen, that felt like an explosion. Now, again, the whole thing is set up that this is the safest place, Penguin. Yeah. But in the meantime, what does Penguin mind? He's going to kill them anyway, he thinks. But yeah, it's just, they're like, hey, we got to escort like, you
away. If that was a thing, like, you know, hey, that would sound like an explosion. If they freaking get too scared, they might leave, and then he can't fulfill his plan at that point?
I don't know. It seems like the whole thing is that he had it set up for Chase to kill them. I don't know. I don't know, because the explosion and that C4 that was being brought in, I think was supposed to cause an explosion anyway.
Exactly.
I think that was the whole deal. So that was the thing. I think that, like you said, things have gone ahead of schedule. So Penguin's a little off. Like, the hell's that? We gotta get the hell out of here. While Batman goes, takes Charlotte to, you know, where Alfred is in the boat. They put her in this bit. And then you get the whole deal of, you know, Batman trying to figure out what the plan was, and they're talking about Charlotte's long lost sister with the eye patch, and now he realizes that was the freaking Joker. That was
the person in the Joker mask at the beginning of this goddamn arc. Now
who dropped the iceberg casino chip with her lover's fingerprints all over? It killed Nicholas Pogue, because everywhere you go, you're seeing these throwing stars in eyes. I don't know about you, if I got a throwing star in my eye, I'd be pretty upset. I don't know that I'd be dead. Now it looks like Pogue is cut apart. But Gorky, he just seemed to have that. But, you know, and then he says,
I don't know.
The only question,
and I don't want to experience it, whether I'm alive or dead. Just don't throw a throwing star in my goddamn eye.
I don't
want
to have that. And he's like, now he wants to know what is Jill doing with Snakeskin? And that's the whole thing. And what does she plan on using him for? And what she actually plans on using him for is to pretend to kill, you know, to go up.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, Snakeskin believes he's going to kill Penguin, and it turns out, like, the gun is off.
With a plastic gun, Eric.
Yeah, and the gun explodes in his hand, so this was all supposed to be a ruse, so everyone just believes that, you know, the Penguin was almost assassinated and something went wrong.
So he can't be involved in this.
Exactly. It's all a setup against Snakeskin to make him the fall guy of this whole operation.
Yep. And then you see the sensor glove, Eric, go beep, deep. And then
the beep, deep, deep.
What does it do?
It opens up all the safes.
Yeah, it just opens the safes, but it's a sensor glove. And are you
kitty cat?
You don't even get that whole thing where you would have had her shake hands with the Penguin, and then this glove actually, the sensor grabs his fingerprint.
Or anything.
Something like that.
Yeah. And this whole thing seems to be a part of her hand that I guess she had to have set up with the Penguin, because she's a part of this operation to get the money out to give the Penguin.
Yeah.
But like, we are just – you were taking leaps and bounds to get to this goddamn logic of everything. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm telling you, you are working so hard to make this detective story, but you are losing the story in the process.
It's so bad, because now Penguin is being escorted by Lark and his gals out, and he's yelling, you know, this is a disgrace. Free admission, all have been inconvenience. And that's when Snakeskin comes out looking fucking hard. Actually, looks a lot like the thing a bit.
It looks like the original concept for the Hulk.
Yeah, the Hulk. Yeah, it does. And I'm telling you, to me, it even looks like if you had a little bit of a rock there, it looked like the thing. But it's crazy looking. But yeah, he comes out. He has this gun. He thinks that he's supposed to kill the Penguin, and it clicks and then blows up.
And one thing I didn't see before him, because I just thought the gun blew up. Maybe it hurt his hand a bit. But like when you look, it blew up parts of his face. Like he is just laying there in a heap of blood and guts. I'm like,
done.
That's fucked up. I didn't even think about Snakeskin being dead by the end of this.
And then he's like, then Lark goes, sir, I've been informed that the man has an accomplice. We think she's headed to the vault. She, Trina, bring her to me now. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because then the guys are like, hey, listen, we're backing out of this. We are not impressed. We're out. And then he says, absurd, break our contract and I'll see you're broken along with it. But then they go off and you see that, you know, you have Trina, you have Jill loading up what appears probably the money, right? She's got that.
I would think so.
Like all of this was a ruse to get there and get the money. Batman goes, he's fighting her. She's using all her techniques. We were told she knows jiu-jitsu and all that. And then does he put a tracker on her?
Yes.
It's so weird because when are we getting back to her?
Well, the thing is, I think that's how he found out where she was in the freaking in the Penguin's fucking safe room, his panic room, whatever. Which turns out, I'm telling you, when we get to the it's the Penguin's secret bunker. The secret bunker looks like a goddamn Arctic land. I'm telling you, there are mountains. It seems like, and all this shit. I'm like, how is this a secret fucking bunker? Like, where are we at right now in the iceberg casino?
What's going on? Because that's when you have these guys show up. You know, freaking Mr. Toxic and all these guys. They show up and they're like, they want to get their money. They want to get their fucking money. They grab Chase, and Batman's like, listen, where's Penguin Security now? They're not coming. And then they just start fighting. And it's like out of nowhere, you have these cool characters. That's fine. But why now? Why go through all of this nonsense to have this fight when we don't even know these characters? We don't know anything about it. You have, you know, hey, you're new here, Hypnotic. Radio control waves don't work against me. Now, you're smart, you'll realize we're in a death trap. You're surrounded. And then that's Mr. Toxic. You're surrounded, Batman. I'd say you're right. But all this is just, it's complete nonsense. You talk about it. I'm telling you, we're almost done, but I'm sick of it. I'm completely sick of all this nonsense.
And the thing is, Batman is fighting all of these, and it seems like he set an explosion to get out, and that's when we have fucking Jill Hampton, who is Chase.
That's how little we – first off, the names are thrown around all over the place. At one point, they call her Chase, which is her alias. They call her Jill. And like you said, you think that there's one point they call her Jill Chase. I think my head was swimming by now, and I wouldn't even notice because I don't know what's
going on. But she gets down to the Penguin's secret bunker because she fucking runs away during this goddamn fight, gets to the Penguin's secret bunker, where I'm telling you, when we get to this point, I'm like, what kind? It really bothers me just because this is a goddamn, it looks like the Antarctic, how big this goddamn place is. And we have the Penguin stand there. We have this whole thing where this is the connection now where we find out Chase has been working for the Penguin the whole time to steal all these people's, all these lieutenants' money and have them killed.
But and since that's what I said. Alive, he said to her, they made it out alive. That wasn't part of the plan. So she was supposed to kill them all along, but it didn't even, like, she went and got the money. And then, like, there was no set. She has C4 there, but there's no setup to do anything. Or just so weird. But, yeah, go on.
But, no, the freaking thing is, it's like the Penguin's going to double-cross her. But it's like, you know what? You know, I made a promise to help you with your father, Mayor Hades' re-election campaign. I'm going to make sure it runs smoothly, but I'm going to kill you because, honestly, you're the worst part of this because you're the goddamn black sheep of the family. Because we have this connection to Mayor Hades where we know, like, up until this point, I don't know if we actually talked about Charlotte Rivers being the daughter of Mayor
Haiti. Yeah, she is the daughter of Mayor Haiti, and they really don't ever say that.
And they gloss over that because if Jill Hampton's the daughter of Mayor Haiti, that means Charlotte Rivers
she
has
is.
To
Charlotte
be.
Is.
I know.
Charlotte is actually, and actually the one that everybody knows to be, full out, to be the daughter of Mayor Haiti. It seems that what I read, Jill has kind of been pushed aside and was adopted. She was left alone, and that's what is supposed to be her kind of, you know, her revenge thing and why she hates Charlotte and why she does this. But now she throws it out that it's all about Mayor Haiti. I don't understand.
I'm telling you, you're talking about not understanding because, like I said, we are in the Penguin's secret bunker.
Yes.
The entire goddamn place is surrounded in ice. It seems to be made of ice completely. And then Lark is about to blow freaking Jill Hampton's head off. And Batman just fucking pops out of the ice.
That's why they had the tracker, but it's so stupid.
Batman just fucking breaks through some ice, kicks freaking Lark in the back of the head, and the Penguin's about to shoot his goddamn his umbrella gun because it's classic Penguin, and I love seeing the wops and the fucking. I love seeing Penguin in this.
He does that a lot, but he has the gun and the umbrella.
And
the
thing is, Batman pushes Jill Hampton down. Freaking Penguin shoots the umbrella gun and ends up falling backwards and knocking himself out because of the fucking, it seems like the impact
the
of the blast, the recoil.
He wasn't ready for the recoil.
I'm like,
he's an idiot.
That's the end. I'm like, are you kidding me? The Penguin is just done because he shot his goddamn classic umbrella gun and knocked himself out.
But even then, with the whole thing where you had this whole reveal at the end, and we know the Penguin's not, but it's just out of nowhere, it's the Penguin like, you're supposed to have them dead, and then two pages later, he's knocked himself out. You didn't even get the full concept to even enjoy this as a Penguin issue. Penguin through the whole thing to me was just, he's on the side, he's yelling, he's talking to his guys, he's talking to, hey, Mr. Toxic, you could let your money here, and it's a grand opening, but you never get enough Penguin here, and then he knocks himself out with an umbrella. So stupid. And then that's when Batman the Best, you're done playing with the big boys, Joel, I'm making sure of that, says you.
But Jill is arrested then. She's brought in. She's being talked to by Mr. Mosaic. He's like, it's kind of funny that you'd call me for help after what you did to me. And we have this whole thing where, you know, maybe that Mr. Mosaic works for her father, Mayor Haiti, because, like, he wouldn't let you sit here. We got you a goddamn attorney. And the guy walks in. You know what? Not really an attorney. Turns out, you know, and we see that it's Snakeskin somehow. He's alive and well, and he has a goddamn knife.
How can he be alive? But his face work now.
Exactly. His face is back to working now. He's in the goddamn GCPD or wherever she's being held with a goddamn knife, and he's going to kill her right there. I'm like, whatever, man. I don't care about these characters anymore. I'm done with this fucking arc.
Yeah, yeah. I am too. And it just, it's bad. It was really, really bad. And
I don't know how it became this, because when we talked about issues 1, 2, and 3 of this trade, I'm like, I'm very excited. I'm like, this is different.
It wasn't the best thing we read, but it was different.
No, no, it's a darker take on Batman, and it was doing this whole horror movie feel, which I could really get behind.
Yeah.
Somehow the end of that arc just kind of got away, and then we got into this one right away, and nothing ever really panned out or made sense together.
I feel bad, because half the time I may have sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about, because I didn't. It was so convoluted and all over the place, where people were just getting thrown in, and you're like, okay, I better know who Pog is. Oh, well, Pog is dead.
And Boris Gorky.
Where's Smitty? Oh, Smitty, we hardly knew you. Oh, my God, you know, Raju, oh, Jesus Christ, he took
Oh, no, not
back.
Mr. Bellamy.
Yeah. Mr. Bellamy.
And I'm telling you, I can't remember his first name. I just want to keep calling him Bill Bellamy, though.
Yeah, like, Bill Bellamy. Everybody loves Bill Bellamy, right? And just even like you said, you have Charlotte, where there is the neat thing. There is probably one of the neatest things of this whole arc is the fact that Mayor Haiti has an anti-Batman policy, Bruce Wayne's but dating his daughter.
Exactly.
Why at once did that they not have Bruce and Charlotte, where Charlotte says, listen, you have ditched every fucking thing that we're going, you know, and Bruce says, listen, and it's all about having dinner with her dad. And she says, you haven't come to any of these fundraisers for my dad. And he's like, listen, I'm Bruce Wayne. I can't get involved in this politics stuff. I can't do this.
Or then somehow we just get what Charlotte feels about Batman based on her father's opinion to Bruce.
I would have loved to have seen Bruce have dinner with them at the mayor's, you know, wherever. Have a dinner with the mayor, and they start arguing about if Batman's a good thing or not.
Yeah.
Something like that, where you have that in a lot of superhero. Yeah, it might be cliched. You know, you even had that in Spider-Man, the second one, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, right? When he goes to dinner and he's talking to...
Yeah, that was the first one, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, was it the first one? Okay, yeah, the first one.
But Captain Stacy was alive.
That's always a kind of a funny thing, but you could have had that. But in the meantime, the main thing would be you establish that she's the daughter of Mayor Haiti.
Please.
You never did.
Because, I'm telling you, we have Charlotte Rivers, Jill and Hampton. None of them have the last name Haiti.
No, and now you think that she should be dead. It was bad.
Kind of hope she
it
is.
It really was bad. Yeah, I wish that everybody was.
I'm telling you, if we would have given a score for our part one of this Detective Comics Volume 1 trade, Faces of Death, I would have gone probably a 7.5 out of
10. 7.5. That's a pretty positive deal.
Exactly. Going into the second half, my score is now down to a 5.5 out of 10 because while I did enjoy the art, the story is so convoluted and confusing, just throwing things at you left and right. It became a goddamn chore to read. That's never. You would have fun when you read comics. You don't want that.
I thought that I was going to be down to a 6. This is where, like I used to say, if you thought that Steve Orlando's dialogue was good back in like a Midnighter, and I said, say it out loud to yourself. Let hear you say it, and then come back and tell me. I think that that's the case here. I read this, and I'm like, oh, it's a convoluted mess, whatever, 6. Now that I actually have to try to explain it and talk about it, I'm going 5.2.
Yeah,
I'm almost at a. If the art wasn't as good at points, I'd go fuck you 5.
Seriously.
Because it is that infuriatingly bad. And it's one of those where you said it. We were pretty hyped on it. It seemed to be something different, especially for Batman. I did tell you in that first 3 issues, it seemed like he was going more for that hard boiled detective type deal. That is left behind to just try to force detective work on you, but never seeing detective work, and nothing ever works out. Yeah, this is where you have detective work isn't having Batman think something, isn't it? It's right. Yeah, Dollmaker is gone. I don't know what happened to the Penguin. You know what I mean? Like, all this seems that Batman heard it was all a plan and whatever.
Like, all of a sudden, like we had Snakeskin. We had that plastic gun he was supposed to kill the Penguin with, and it blew up in his hand because the gun was going to do this all the time. This was the plan all along. It almost seems like the same thing happened to the Penguin with his umbrella gun because it just fucking knocks him backwards and knocks him out. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing.
Like, the GCPD was heading towards the Iceberg Lounge, correct? Why didn't somebody deal with Snakeskin? He was out, looked like he was dead. Yeah, they just left him there.
They, they, just, Then they just let a lawyer in to talk to fucking Charlotte Rivers with a goddamn fucking Bowie knife.
Yeah, you don't think that Batman would have given Gordon some little, you know. Also, where's Gordon?
Like, I don't know.
We see him without a kidney, then he disappears. You know, he's trying to get better, but still, you have upstairs in the Iceberg Lounge, you have a guy who Batman thinks possibly killed six guys. Now, I know that he knows that it was also Jill, but it was also Snakeskin. He's still a bad guy. And then Penguin, we don't know anything about him either.
And I'm telling you, I don't know if we actually got to the point, because like somewhere in my mind, I don't know if I made this up or if I read it, but this in my mind is 3 weeks later after the Dollmaker. How about we maybe check in on Olivia, because there's 2 weeks at Arkham Asylum.
That's what I mean. And Gordon. Have them where Gordon is talking to her or something, but nothing. You don't get it. But that's it. That's the end of this episode.
This was supposed to be a fun one we got to talk about.
I was so excited to talk about it. And then when I read it, I realized after that first part of this, the number four issue, when I got to number five, even the number four, I was a little angry. Then I got to number five, and I don't know what happened. To me, it's as if you had a writing change. You know, it seemed like another writer jumped on, but they didn't. Yes, Eric, the next volume that we're going to talk about is Red Lanterns, Volume 1. Blood and Rage. So we get
and that's a Peter Milligan joint. And I jumped in on this right when Charles. Actually, it was right before Charles Soule jumped on. Yeah. So I'm actually really into reading this because people have been talking to me when we were doing the New 52 stuff. Yeah. Like when it was coming out. Oh, you got to check out Peter Milligan's run. It was great. And I'm like, okay, you know, they introduced his character Rancor. This was supposed to be the human Red Lantern that we could like, you know, be involved with and relate to. Until later on, they brought Guy Gardner in, which I was all about. But I never had the connection to Rancor, and I hope I get it by reading this first trade.
Yeah, maybe we will. Now, in the meantime, I want to mention we do have a Patreon account at patreon.com/weirdscience, and if you want to hear that volume when this goes up, as you are listening to this episode, hopefully you're not, you know, killing yourself because how bad it was, but if you listen to this episode, you can go right now, and if you subscribe to Patreon, you'll get a two-week advance and be able to listen to that Red Lanterns Volume 1, maybe a palate cleanser. Eric,
hopefully.
After that, but we talk about all the times when we get these, and I say, man, like Wonder Woman, I ended up buying it. I bought that trade. I'm like, this is something I will go back to and read. I will never go back to this. I will never
read this
again. Now that I know, this is almost like that Green Arrow, where we both of us in this one, we're like, I think we're going to like it. I remember reading some of it. I don't know the whole thing and whatever, but it was all the Joker
stuff. I know I had to have read it somewhere, because I'm pretty sure I have all the individual issues. I'm like, the hell was going on? Is this like that Green Arrow situation where I thought I really liked that first Green Arrow trade?
Maybe,
What happened?
That's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, you know, looking back, it through shit-colored glasses or something. Now, I think that what happened to me was we jumped on a little later reading, and once you got to, say, the death of the family, maybe a little earlier, I went back and read those first four issues to see what was going on with Joker in his face, and really got not much of the Joker in those anyway. But I did remember reading those, but I don't remember any of this. And if I did read it, I'm going to forget it just like I will forget this in a month from now, because it's just utter garbage. It really is.
And I did, while we were talking about it, I did look up talking about the Merrymaker. I thought that was going to be the next thing, but no, that was actually, I think, started issue 16, so it is a while away
still. John Layman, so the next thing, I believe, because it does say at the end, it gives you next scare tactics, and it looks like a Scarecrow story, so we'll see if we...
Which I don't believe I read. That.
No, I wouldn't have read it if I would have read these, and I didn't go forward, so we'll see what's going on. But Eric, that is the end of this, and what do you say at the end of it?
Sadly, I say that was the New 52, and now we're through.